and welcome to episode 18 of Batflips and Nerds, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on @Batflips_Nerds on Twitter and on Facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. And today we've got joining me is Darius Austin. How are you, Darius?
I'm doing very well, Tom. Good to be here. Excited to talk about John's favourite time of the year, spring training.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. And I'm so happy that John's not on the podcast because, God bless him, but I'm so happy he's not here so we can actually talk about baseball. Baseball is actually here. Wait, I've got a sound. Let me check it. Listen to that. Brilliant. Baseball is actually here. We are just 26 days away from opening day. But right now in front of me, I'm watching Jackie Bradley Jr. dive into home plate and get another run for the Red Sox against the Nationals. This is so, so exciting. Are you excited, Darius?
Yeah, I'm getting quite excited. I think especially now where instead of a lot of the guys without, you know, names on the back of their jerseys are sort of starting to disappear and we're getting more of the regular lineups in play, it really is starting to feel close to real baseball now.
Oh, it's just brilliant. And I understand, right, let's not get excited about the results. Let's not get excited about the pitch counts, etc. But it's just great to see it on our televisions again. I love just watching it and having it on in the background while I'm washing up. Whatever I'm doing, I just love having it on there.
Yeah, it's certainly exciting to be back. And I think it kind of feels a bit like it's so extreme. You go from baseball every single day to nothing at all. I don't think you really get that with any other sport.
Yeah. So what's some of the biggest headlines then we've seen today, recently in spring training then? I think the major one that came out at the very start of the spring training was the fact that Alex Reyes was out for the season. Maybe the Cardinals knew about that early on, but obviously they weren't going to release it until the start of spring training.
Yeah, there's always, it seems like, one or two guys who it emerges, oh, by the way, that we've known this guy had a problem with his elbow for 3 months and now's when we find out about it because we just kind of hoped it would go away. It seems like Reyes was certainly one of those guys that they knew something about a little while before we did, and I think they were hoping that it would go away when he started throwing and it didn't, which is a real shame because I was certainly looking forward to seeing pitch, and I know a lot of fantasy owners in particular were very excited about drafting him this year. I know you're excited to talk about David Price and his amazing bionic elbow.
It's just incredible. How did that happen? So I remember I even mentioned on the Rays podcast and said the fact that Grant Brisby had brought out an article explaining that those that go for a second opinion to Dr. Andrews do not come out with good news. But this time we actually had good news. And we haven't seen him pitch yet, but David Price has said before every spring training, this always happens, and this time it was worse. His elbow was completely locked. He couldn't even move his arm. And now all of a sudden, after 2 days of no treatment whatsoever, before he went to see Dr. Andrews, he could actually move his arm. The swelling had gone down.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. I mean, it sounds like both the doctors told him that they'd never seen anything like it, that his elbow had basically just sort of found a way to heal itself, which is great. And I'm not really sure whether this should make us more optimistic about Price going forward or whether we should still be worried that he had the injury in the first place. But if the doctors are seeing something that they've never seen before, then I guess that's kind of exciting.
Wasn't this a bit like R.A. Dickey in the fact he hasn't got that ligament in his elbow?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't need it. I guess he doesn't need to throw hard anyway with the knuckleball. Mm. But Dickey's certainly got a unique elbow. And I guess now that we found out that Price does too, which I guess we maybe wouldn't have found out unless he got injured in the first place. So hopefully he can get back to health and be ready to pitch at the start of the season. But based on how it sounded, and certainly like you mentioned that Grant article, I think everybody assumed that Price was done for this year and maybe even a little bit of next year as well. So I'm kind of very happy to see him back. The first feel-good story of spring training.
Well, it is for us Red Sox fans. I'm not sure for the rest of the AL East, but we'll see how it goes. So obviously the big headlines in spring trainings are always in the best shape of his life. So I want to look at who's huge and who's not. So who's come out of spring training so far just looking absolutely massive compared to normal?
Well, I think the big candidate seems to be Yoenis Cespedes. And I know Aaron Judge is someone that we've brought up as well. He was kind of already a really big guy, so it's kind of hard to imagine him being small, really. But definitely him and Cespedes, the two that I've seen that really look like they've bulked up.
Is that going to slow him down though in the outfield, especially Ioannis, who's actually got a pretty decent arm anyway? But is that just going to slow him down even more out there, considering that he's squatting whatever it was, £1,000 on that thing where they couldn't actually add any more weights?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think I'm sure the coaches, if they were concerned about him moving around up there, would perhaps discourage him from doing any more, and maybe over the next few weeks he will kind of get back into more baseball shape. And maybe it's just a function of him working out over the off season and not really playing a lot of baseball. I'm sure it won't really never quit in with, but maybe they'll even be a little bit more behind those cannons from the outfield to look for.
So yeah, Ioannis is looking huge. Aaron Judge is looking huge. No, Syndergaard as well. He looked massive, like ridiculous.
Yeah, I'd heard that he was sort of been working on putting on some weight, and yeah, I don't think I was quite expecting this. But I guess if your nickname is Thor, then maybe he feels the need to live up to that in some way and really look like a proper superhero.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's a bit like sort of Tour de France riders, where they bulk up a little bit before a long grand tour, and then throughout the tour they just slowly lose weight. But I imagine if life on the road, you're not going to be eating that well. But then again, teams are probably going to have nutritionists and all that to sort themselves out. But maybe the idea is that they'll gradually lose that throughout the season, because they won't be doing as much weight training, I suppose.
Yeah, I think instead teams are looking at more eating properly. And I know minor league players are notoriously known for having bad diets. I've got to mention that I've just seen an outstanding story about Cespedes, who was pulled out of the game, I think it was yesterday. Terry Collins apparently said that his quad and hip were starting to tighten up, I'm mm-hmm. sure due to the wind. Any thoughts about the wind's effect on on that?
About the quad and, hold on, the quad and hip tightening up, and does he mean wind or the wind?
He said,
what does the article say?
He said the wind. You know, I there's no further elaboration here.
It just said, what, so was he running against the wind and was straining himself a bit too much, or?
I can, I mean, that seems like the most plausible of a string of implausible explanations. Yeah, I don't know. Terry Collins does some weird things. But
yeah, let's not talk about Matt Harvey and postseason. So speaking of weight and putting on, what about Pablo Sandoval? Have you actually seen him hit or run or catch or do anything at the moment?
I haven't actually seen Pablo in game action, so you'll have to let the listeners know about how he's looking in terms of gameplay. But I certainly saw when he was coming into camp, it was every year we get the Pablo is, you know, in great shape, or Pablo has basically not done anything all off season. It was a regular theme of the Giants off season when he was on the team, and seems to have carried over to Boston as well. But how is he looking? Do you think he's ready to have a bounce back year?
Well, I mean, I don't know if many people actually follow Pablo Sandoval on Instagram or Twitter or anything like that. Clearly, I do, and I keep up with it. And every single day during the off season, we were getting videos of him weight training, videos of him running, videos of him in the cage, and it was just constant throughout the whole season. I think he was spending the whole off season trying to convince Boston fans that he actually meant this and he was going to try and make a difference. The bits that I've seen, I've only seen a few at-bats and a few bits of him in the field, but, I mean, today he's had a hit and two RBIs, so he's batting .350 at the moment, which doesn't say a lot. They're spring training stats, aren't they, so they don't really matter. But, you know, he looks okay. He's forecast to be an average hitter. He's forecast to be an average player. So, do you know what? I'd take that, to be honest. We're not going to get rid of that contract. We're not going to be able to trade him away. And I wrote in the article that earlier on in the year, I just put, you know, let's just give him a chance. He might be all right at third base. Let's just let it happen and see what happens.
Yeah, I think at this point, an average player would be a pretty big win for the Red Sox, especially considering the rest of your team.
With Travis Shaw last year, it was very much hit and miss the way he's going. But anyway, it's not a Red Sox podcast. It is a spring training podcast. And I just wish John was here to enjoy it with us, because he'd be loving all this chat. he'd also love this next part. Obviously, the huge and the biggest headline of spring training is none of what we've spoken about, but it's the fact that Tim Tebow will be playing for the Mets on Wednesday and Friday. I mean, this is huge. We need to get every reporter there to cover this, because otherwise it's not going to get any coverage whatsoever. What do you think?
Yeah, poor Tim Tebow. I just don't think, unless it was for us directing everybody in his direction, that he would be getting any media coverage at all. I loved how his batting practice session, what did he hit, 9 home runs? And this was deemed to be like the second biggest story on ESPN, just in batting practice.
I mean, I just feel so sorry for all the other names on that roster that are going to be playing for the Mets. But then again, I suppose some of them are just like, you know what, I'm quite happy. No one's looking at me. I can just relax. Everyone is staring at him. I kind of don't want him to make it, and I do want him to make it. I do want him to make it just to just stick two fingers at to everyone who said, there's no chance. You can't leave baseball this long and come back. I'd love him to do it just for that reason, but I think he's probably a bit old, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. If he did make it, people say how essential those reps are. So for Tebow to go away, play a completely different game for several years, and then just come back and be like, oh yeah, now I'm a major leaguer. I mean, we saw Michael Jordan try it. I know he was a bit older, but he's obviously one of the greatest athletes of our generation, and he couldn't make it. So it would be kind of a bit of a counterpoint to the idea that you need to have those reps in order to compete at the highest level. On the other hand, I'm not really sure I want to listen to the people who were saying at the start, Tim Tebow's great. Nobody knows, you know, all these experts don't know what they're talking about. I don't know if those are the kind of people we want to be triumphant. It might be a bit like, you know, Donald Trump supporters or something. So,
just for balance, there's nothing wrong with Donald Trump supporters. Carry on, Darius.
Yes, I'm sorry. This is not a political podcast. I think seeing some of the comments, a Sam Miller ESPN article, basically, and it wasn't even in relation to anything. I think just somebody proclaiming that Tim Tebow was going to be a major leaguer and he was going to have 5 or 6 years of great production. and I was just like, well, this is... obviously, these people are out there.
Because he might do it. I mean, clearly, it is a publicity stunt. Why would the Mets be taken into spring training? There's no reason to.
Yeah, I mean, it's working. So fair play to the Mets. I'm sure they've sold some merch. And he's not completely embarrassed himself. He's obviously still a great athlete. So there's that. But I think everybody's just doing exactly what they probably would have hoped, which is covering him and continue to cover him as long as he has any kind of association with the team.
Yeah, I'm just very quickly trying to look up Tim Tebow's signing bonus and see what it was. So he had a $100,000 signing bonus. So, I mean, what would his... I don't even know. What would his wage be in the minor leagues?
Minor leaguers don't really get paid anything. I don't know whether he would be given a different deal. I'm sure he doesn't need one because I expect he makes plenty of money off endorsements anyway. But the minor league salary is extremely low.
So let's say, I don't even know, but let's say it's $20,000 a year. Are they literally minimum wage?
I think it might even be lower than that.
Okay, so let's say he's getting paid less than that, and I don't know, maybe he's giving it to charity in true Tim Tebow type fashion.
Yeah, it looks like it's maybe 12,000 a year or so.
Wow, that's pretty damn low. So the Mets essentially need to sell $100,000 worth of tickets. Forget his pay that he's going to get, but for the signing bonus, $100,000 worth of tickets and merch. I'm pretty confident they're going to do that.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they hadn't already, to be honest.
Yeah, with I imagine the amount of interviews he's getting as well and the amount of extra people that are getting interested in the team now.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to calculate these things in terms of coverage and endorsements and just all the extra things he's brought the team just by being Tim Tebow and associated with the Mets. But you've got to imagine it's given them considerably more coverage of their minor league camp than they would have had otherwise.
Mm. Do you think there's a chance that other NFL stars or basketball stars, if Tebow is successful, will start looking across to baseball, especially with his guaranteed money? I think they'd be more interested.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I know Russell Wilson was drafted by the Rangers, I think, as sort of one of these little stunts a couple of years back, and he did show up at their camp just for sort of more of a training day and to kind of motivate the players. He was a decent college player. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if athletes who are interested and maybe if they see Tebow succeeding, then be interested in giving it a go themselves, especially if they are like Tebow. He's not particularly successful in the NFL and fancy giving something else a try.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. The fact that the NFL is just so cutthroat, and the fact you've only got 16 games if you're a starter to prove yourself in a season, And if you can't do that, you can pretty much be kicked to the curb and then try and bounce around other teams. But none of the money's guaranteed, so I wouldn't be surprised if other folk do start to look at it. But I think you're going to have a big name want to do it. You've got to be like Tebow. You can't get sort of Case Keenum coming across and trying to do it. It's not going to work. You've got to be that big name to really settle in.
Yeah, you don't think Case Keenum would get the same level of coverage?
No, I'm trying to think of a decent equivalent. Obviously, Brady would just be too crazy. What would the equivalent be of Tim Tebow? I reckon maybe Blake Bortles. No, not even Blake Bortles. It's going to have to be someone bigger than that.
What if, like, Todd Gurley never gets back to being a decent running back and just decides that he wants to be like a slugger in the majors instead?
That'd be so cool. The size of Todd Gurley as well. I'd love to see that.
I'm sure Todd Gurley didn't play baseball.
Vince Wilfork, that'd be awesome. He can come and DH the Red Sox. That'd be quality. Just the size of him. Right then. So what we'll do then is shift on to the World Baseball Classic, which has also started at the moment. We've seen Israel go off to a blinding start and get two wins, beating Korea, which was a... I don't know whether it was a shock, actually, because everyone's quite high on Israel before it started. But the key point for us, especially in the UK, is the fact that we can't watch it. There was a tweet from the World Baseball Classic account today saying, the world is watching, are you? And I just replied and said, no, because you've put us on the naughty list and we can't watch. How can it be a World Baseball Classic when we can't watch the game?
Yeah, it's bizarre, isn't it? And they've obviously, I don't know whether the people running the tournament are not aware how limited the distribution is. I know BT have technically got the rights, but they're not showing any of the games at the moment. So it does seem a bit like a PR disaster for them to tweet out when you've got all these people. And I know the Effectively Wild group, and I've seen some people in the MLB on 5 Live Facebook group as well, have sort of been saying, well, I'd love to watch the World Baseball Classic, but I can't actually find anywhere to watch it. So it seems like they've dropped the ball a bit with all these international baseball fans who don't seem to have at least a legal way to watch any of the games.
I didn't actually realise that BT had it. So has that been reported, or is it just the fact that they have the MLB coverage and obviously the World Baseball Classic is part of MLB?
Well, it's basically on the official WBC site. It says that the UK provider who's got the rights is BT. I don't think there's anything listed as saying that they're on the schedule. So whether they will start showing things when we get to the knockout stages, I'm not sure. Maybe it's just something that they pick up as part of their deal to show MLB games, and they actually have no interest in showing the WBC. I don't really know. I don't think BT have said anything themselves about it. So it might have just fallen into a little black hole where they sort of picked it up as kind of a little side thing on their MLB contract. And it's basically fallen by the wayside because BT think they've got better things to show.
Yeah. Maybe it's a bit of a rights thing, like you say, because I can't remember. I'm racking my brains then while you're talking, trying to think. But I seem to remember BT doing this last year where they... it might have actually been Eurosport with... maybe the Giro d'Italia or something. And it was something like the first two stages, they couldn't show it. And then they eventually sorted out the rights for it. So maybe it's a case of that and they just haven't done it. I mean, if it was on, would you be... Are you interested? Do you want to watch it? Would you watch every single game? Would you just be looking for example, the Netherlands, Korea, Israel, US? What would you be looking for?
Yeah, there's certainly teams that I'd want to watch. I've seen that Puerto Rico... in particular, they've got Javier Baez and Francisco Lindor up the middle, which is a terrific combination, especially given how good they both are defensively. So I'd definitely be interested in watching their games. And they're certainly, especially like Italy as well, who are in their group, I think it would be fun to watch teams like that from Europe and the Netherlands, as you say. So there's definitely quite a few teams I'd be interested in watching, and certainly the later stages of the tournament. As we get down to the knockouts, then I think I would certainly be watching those as well. But at the moment, it doesn't seem like there's any live games in the offing in the UK and in quite a lot of other countries as well, from what I can gather.
Oh, really? I didn't realise there's other countries. What's the consensus then? Is it a Europe thing or is it just spread out throughout the world?
Well, it seems like, certainly from what people have been saying on Facebook, that... there are certainly blackouts, much like you would get in the US. Normally it's us in the UK sort of exempt from this kind of thing, while American fans are complaining that they can't watch their team locally. I've seen people from quite a few different countries say, oh, I've tried to watch the WBC today and I can't watch it. Whereas the Americans have got no problem. You can watch all of the games on MLB TV in the US. So it sort of seems to have been flipped around for this, which is a sort of an interesting strategy. And yeah, there must be something distribution rights wise. But what the purpose is of blacking the games out when there isn't actually a viable way for you to watch them, even if you have signed up for a package like BT, I don't really know.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Well, hopefully it'll get resolved. I think there's enough people on Twitter, Facebook, and those attacking MLB just trying to get this solved so we can actually watch some baseball. I think you might be right. I think BT are probably leaving the group stages and waiting until we get to the knockout stages just to slot it into their coverage. But, you know, they need to show some League Two football and French Division Two football. That's more important to them at the moment.
You can't be a bit of French Division Two.
So John tweeted out today on the Batflips and Nerds Twitter account just to ask the question tentatively about fantasy league ideas. Now, we've sort of half discussed it between the four of us at the moment and trying to decide what to do and how we're going to play it this year. Last season, I attempted to run a losers team. So essentially, the hitters got the most points for if they struck out. The pitchers would be getting points if they gave away runs. But unfortunately, it was quite a chaotic draft and I only really got it sorted last minute. And it was halfway through the season. I hadn't put a utility player in so people couldn't have DHs. And it was all a bit of a mess. So we're going to try and hit it early this year. But we kind of need your feedback to the listeners to, A, if you're interested. B, what sort of size leagues you're looking for. Whether we do, I don't know, 2 15 team leagues or one big 30 team league and really go deep, but also whether you want a normal league, a bit of a silly league where we have a loser's team wins, or we go for something a bit crazy where we try and have maybe a relievers only league or something like that. But Darius, have you got any thoughts on what your preference would be?
I do really enjoy the silly leagues. I think it's quite fun and it does sort of level the playing field somewhat, I think, in terms of there being so many resources out there for people to do the sort of standard 5x5 roto rankings, that kind of thing. I think it's much easier to find that kind of stuff now, but you won't find many rankings for terrible players. So I kind of enjoy that aspect of it, but I do think it's a bit less accessible as well. So I'm personally open to everything, but I think if listeners have any suggestions, if they've got any categories they'd like to pitch, I run the Web Albers Championship, which for those who aren't familiar is based on games finished without a save. Ryan Webb and Matt Albers are the all-time leaders in finishing MLB games without ever recording a save. So I run a league that's based solely on that. That gives you an idea of what I'm into. But yeah, if you've got any silly categories you'd like to pitch or you'd just like to be in a standard league, yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we definitely would. We're very much open to suggestion. I think, as Darius does make a good point, you can find any league out there to do the very basic stuff. We're happy to do it, though. We'll go with the general consensus. We're happy to run it. I think Darius is running about 400 leagues, so he might be a bit busy and might not be able to run it himself, but I'm sure myself or John could bumble our way through it. Myself, John, and I think Ben have all confessed to being terrible baseball, fantasy baseball players, so Darius will probably lead the way, and the competition will be who can beat Darius. Right then, what I'd like to do as well is just say a big thank you to everyone who joined in when I decided to put a tweet out just simply saying, quote this with the most stereotypical British name in baseball. It was on that evening where a lot of people were quoting a tweet saying, pick the most famous baseball player you know with the initials of your name. And I thought, well, I'll just try one for the Brits and just see how we get on. I was really, really quite surprised by the response. I don't know if you've got any favourites, Darius, that you can think of off the top of your head or if you've got them in front of you.
I'm just having a little look through now. I have to say, I really enjoyed the idea of Sir Dansby Swanson. I know Didi Gregorius is already Sir, but I think Dansby Swanson sounds much more like a British knight than Didi Gregorius does. So I definitely enjoyed that one. Some of them were just incredible in their detail. I was really impressed at the backstories that people came up with.
Well, I think that's it. I mean, I can't remember what I started. I think I threw one out and then just put a bit of a backstory. And then that just set people off. there were some just brilliant ones. I like this one from Laura, which is at @brainy_Laura. Trevor Story, you know, Trev, he's a painter and decorator, which I just thought was brilliant. And the thing is, I kept reading these out to my wife, and she doesn't even know who these players are, and she was chuckling along. It was crazy. What else have we got that I really enjoyed? Charlie Morton, local publican, married to a childhood sweetheart, has three kids and collects souvenir china plates of the monarchy as a hobby. And that's from Christian Fleming, which I thought was brilliant. One of my personal favourites, but unfortunately it's from Nick Miller. I say unfortunately. It's unfortunate because he is a writer and this is his job. But it's at @NickMiller79. Was just simply, Jackie Bradley is your mate's mum. Which I just thought was brilliant. I just love that one.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed Jock. Somebody's put a K in brackets after Jock. Peterson, Scottish retired late morning lunchtime drinker. Pissed by 2:30 every day. No one knows real name. That gave me a chuckle. But there's a lot of very good ones on here. I'd encourage people to go and check out the Twitter feed because I think we've retweeted all the good ones on there.
Yeah, we've put all the good ones on there. I'm just very disappointed with myself for not putting a hashtag on there so we could just quickly rattle them out. There's one that Nick Miller said, best one yet. Here we go. It's this one here. And it was Ian Desmond shot the Crucible by knocking out Terry Griffiths in the first round in 1983. John and I have had a discussion and we've decided that we're going to try and sort out a prize for the best one, so please do keep them coming in. I just absolutely love them. And that day, well, I think it was over a period of about 3 days, when those notifications came through, I was having such a chuckle. So yeah, we'd like to thank you all for sending those in because they were really, really funny, and please do keep them coming in and keep interacting with us because we find it great. Darius, have you got anything else you want to chat about before we go? Anything to do with spring training or the season ahead, or even any of your writing or anything?
I think that's good for me. I would encourage everybody to check out the excellent previews that you've been doing, Tom, and also Ben has now chipped in with a few. Really interesting hearing all the British fans talk about their teams, and I think especially for people who are maybe not British and are listening to get our perspective on baseball, it's a really great insight into how the fans over here are experiencing the game and how they got into the teams and kind of our perspective on the American game, as it were. So I would encourage people to check out all of those. I think they're going over really well.
Yeah, I'd like to echo Darius's points there. Thanks for the comments as well, Darius. The previews have been great, guys. The people that have come forward and said they wanted to do it have really made the effort as well. And we've had a good mix of the types that we're getting, the types of people, the types of fans, whether old fans, new fans, wherever it may be. It's been really nice, actually. It's been great for me to learn about different teams. And as Darius said, Ben's going to take the mantle for a little bit. I might start dipping back in, but it was literally a case of me having a couple of weeks leave and being able to just smash as many as I could out. So, yeah, it's been really good. And with that, we'd like to thank you all for joining us today on this episode of Batflips and Nerds. Darius, I'd like to thank you for joining me. Where can people find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at @DariusA64. I'm writing loads of places at the moment, so I got a couple of pieces up at BP Wrigleyville this week, including there was one today about spring training, incidentally, a little sort of recap. We call them cactus catch-ups of what's going on in the Cubs camp. So if you're a Cubs fan in particular, go and check that out. And then I've got one coming tomorrow about recent history of World Series champions. So sort of with the Cubs going into 2017, obviously, as the reigning champs, how have other champs got on in the last 20 years or so. Also check us out at Banished to the Pen, where we've also got season previews in text form going up. Again, we get different people to write every preview, so you get a lot of perspectives there, a lot of different thoughts and ways to approach the game, so they're really fun. And I'm also on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast, so if you are into fantasy and you're looking for a new podcast to check out there, then if you go to friendswithfantasybenefits.com, you'll find all of those.
Yeah, excellent. And do follow Darius and go and check out his writing. Don't just think, oh, it's Wrigleyville, I'm not interested. go and check it out, because it is actually good stuff. And the fact that it is about Cubs, but it's not purely about Cubs. The way he builds the articles is actually really good. I've certainly been reading them all, so it's been good to see. I've been your host, Tom Pringle, and you can follow me on Twitter at Pedroia's Face. That's second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. And you can contact the show on Twitter at batflips_nerds. On Facebook, facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. You can email us on batflipsnerds@gmail.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for Batflips and Nerds. And please do give us a rating, as it makes folk easier to find our podcast. We're currently at 9 ratings of 5 stars, so if we can bump that up. Once again, John and I are looking at a prize, so we'll try and get a prize sorted. So get out there, please do give us the ratings, because it will really help us. So once again, thanks for downloading and listening, and goodbye. Let's have a look. I will obviously edit out me saying let's have a look.